Very pleased to be joined by the radio voice of the TBA Blue Jays. It is Ben Wagner on the line right now. Ben, this interview changed over the last hour or so after we got you booked for today. The news has changed a little bit. First of all, how are you today, sir?
I don't know. I have no idea how I am. I don't want to make light of a very, 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 very serious situation for the Toronto Blue Jays, and ultimately, will it affect how we bring you Blue Jays baseball on the radio? I'm not convinced that it will, because if they have a venue, we were going to present it anyway, the same way if they were playing at Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Buffalo, whatever. You know, we're held up in the studios in downtown Toronto. We would broadcast it from our flagship station with the remote return feeds from all the television cameras. So, I think we're caught up in the news cycle right now, but at the end of the day, the good news for Blue Jay fans, when they watch or they listen to Blue Jay games somehow through Sportsnet, our product will not change for them. So that's the good news.
I was going to ask, life for you at this point doesn't change regardless of where they play, right? Like all that changes is what it looks like on the TV screen that you guys are broadcasting off of, correct?
Yeah, and the familiarity, I think, with the ballpark, you know, so we can have a feel and relay, you know, the nuances of balls that bounce certain ways off of certain walls. I mean, that's the convenience. If you're familiar with the ballpark, that you've got the ability to do that and have a better feel of how balls are going to play, right? Like if a ball gets into a corner in a certain ballpark, you know it gets a guy an extra 90 feet if he's got the speed to take an extra bag. Without knowing where they're going to play, you have to get acclimated very, very quickly. And this is one of the stranger couple of hours in a very, very strange time on the globe that we've had, let alone what the Blue Jays are trying to accomplish in the last couple of weeks, and now being firmly rejected by two governments.
And it's fine. Opening day is only 48 hours away, so still tons of time to get this all figured out. nothing could possibly go wrong here.
Yeah, we'll just continue to sip our coffee, you know, with the flames engulfing us. It's good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's such a weird, and like you said, like there's nothing normal about anything. We watched a ball game last night with no one at Fenway Park, one of the true great gems of the sport. And that's just, oh yeah, this is business as usual now. For you, that was the first time where we're seeing exhibition games for the Blue Jays. You guys are calling it back at the studio. What was the experience like to call that one last night for the Jays and the Red Sox?
Yeah, so if people don't know, we are in a radio studio. So when you see any coverage from downtown Toronto or Hockey Central on TV and they show you these studios, that is the same studio Mike Wilner and I are situated in. They have put two giant monitors in front of us. One is what the ball game will look like on your television, and then we have the ability to use a number of different resources Major League Baseball has come up with and the networks providing the broadcast come up with. And they have a giant screen, about a 60-inch television, right next to the big screen where we're watching the games, that has multiple camera views. Some ballparks will feature the scoreboard. Some will feature some analytics data. Also, there will be what we call an all-nine, and that is a high home camera that gives you the look of the field and all nine defenders on that field, no matter what happens with a ball put in play, or it gives us an ability to see the shifting, all that stuff. And then the other two or three camera angles, depending on how they break up the screen, will change. Sometimes it's the bullpens. Sometimes it could be an isolation shot of a coach talking with a player, whatever happens within that game. And it should be a little bit more Blue Jays centric. So we have the resources. We've got so many eyes in the sky. We sit there and then call the play-by-play that unfolds. That was my first remote broadcast I've ever done. Every broadcast that I've ever done, I've actually been courtside at the stadium and obviously then traveling with the Blue Jays the last 2+ years. That was definitely a new experience. You know, last night was a new experience, and I knew once the green light went on that there would be some challenges that just were unpredictable. And, You know what? Overall, I thought we did pretty good. I think it sounded on radio where you got the flavor of the game, the bat crack, the ball popping into the mitts. You heard the umpires yell, strike three, you're out, all this stuff. And you had some of that ambient crowd noise behind, which you would expect in a major league venue, but also then listening to a ball game on the radio. And let the theater of the mind, you know, explore a little bit. Don't get hung up on some of the minutia in the broadcast, but just kick back and listen. And can you transport yourself to normalcy a little bit over that 2 or 3 hour window? And I think listening back to the highlights and some of the moments from that game, you know, you really had a tough time telling whether or not it was in 1998 or if it was in 2020, like we were bringing it to you last night.
Yeah, and I do want to compliment you guys because it did sound as business as usual as one can be in times like this. So a great job on that for sure. As far as the crowd noise goes, I will admit I thought I was going to hate it. I thought it was going to be super cheesy and gross. I kind of like that there's just a bit of a background hum to everything. It just it makes it feel a bit more normal, I guess. What do you think of the crowd noise?
I'll be honest. I did not like the idea. I was not a fan of crowd noise trying to compensate for something, whether we did it on our end or they were trying to do it in the stadiums. Now, Major League Baseball said, here's the idea. And if people don't know this, this is fascinating too. The video game, I believe it's MLB The Show. I'm not a gamer, but I believe that's the newest version that they're calling the Major League Baseball video game, which has unbelievable graphics to it. It's got its own crowd noise and mix. So the chants are already factored in with the crowd and the way that it would sound generated for crowds of 35, 40,000 people. So you would expect, you know, that organ to pipe out and then they'll chant, let's go Blue Jays on the video game. So they were going to replicate that at Rogers Center. They were going to replicate that wherever they go. And that's off an iPad, Major League Baseball, and the video game company has provided to each of the venues. So the Red Sox have their own sound. The Rays will have their own sound. So fire up DJ Kitty on Friday night. And then wherever the Blue Jays land, that will be a great option to at least make it feel like a home game for the Blue Jays players. So they did a really good job, and I don't think it's overpowering. I haven't been in a venue, obviously, and I was doing quarantine while the Blue Jays were doing their inter-squad game, so I wasn't able to go to Rogers Center for the workouts. But what I was able to experience on other broadcast TV and radio preparing for my own, so I knew what to expect, it definitely was a nice mixture. They have not gone over the top, in my opinion, in any stretch.
The only real crowd noise I want really pumped in this year is every road game the Houston Astros play to have just relentless boos the entire time. That's the only piping in that I really need all season long is everyone booing the Astros.
If you want real life experience, that would be the hot button to push and then lean on
exactly
wherever they play on the road. Absolutely. And a trash can bang every now and again.
Yeah, it's tough to hide that one this year. That'll be, if they can pull it off again this year, I'd almost commend them for it more than condemn them. As we chat with Ben Wagner here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, there was an actual baseball game last night. Nate Pearson pitched in it, threw a lot of pitches to the point where they shut an inning. Not ideal for Nate Pearson. It's tough to read too much into an exhibition game in July, but what did you make of Nate Pearson's outing last night?
I think it was really amped up in that first inning. You know, you go to the hallowed ground of Fenway Park, and the players are roaming around, and they're using places of Fenway Park where many of them have not even seen Fenway Park. Because as a player, you're kind of ushered in. You walk right through the stadium, and then you get to a tiny clubhouse, and then you utilize the tunnel back and forth. The Red Sox are utilizing spaces both on the home side and on the visiting side where, with social distancing as the onus here, they're so spread out. So, you know, players, I think, could get caught up in the history of the game while being at Fenway Park in this, which is kind of exciting, you know, for a baseball fan like I am. The players now become baseball fans because they get to live it through a fan's eyes a little bit. And Nate Pearson going to that mound where they've been playing baseball since the 1900s, I think he was really amped up. No fans or not, he's facing a really good lineup for Boston. And you could tell that the fastball, he was trying to guide it a little bit and not rear back and throw it. He never flirted with any velocity above 98 miles an hour. So it's not like we were on the edge of our seat waiting for that triple digit to pop in. And you saw Nate on his release point a couple of times fight the fastball and shake his head side to side. He knew exactly what was going wrong. And I think last night was more indicative of a young guy that understands where he is mechanically, not being able to find the right arm slot for a difference maker pitch. Changeup looked really good. The slider was really good. Didn't see a lot of curveballs from him last night. But the good news is, too, even after they shut that inning down, he settled down and pitched a much better ball game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it almost seemed like it was, okay, I need to get the fastball working, and then we can get the rest of the stuff going. And the fastball took a bit of time. And as awesome as 98 is, if that's all the guy is seeing, eventually big league hitters are going to hit that, which is crazy to say that, oh, yeah, it's only 98. But I thought, like you, kind of settled down as that game went on. I'm assuming now with him starting the game, where the speculation is going to come true and we're not going to see him for about a week or so with the big club to get that service time going?
Yeah, the Blue Jays have a decision to make. Whether or not they plan, you can count out the days. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Where does it land? It lands on the TBA that sits on Sunday in Tampa Bay. If the Blue Jays decide to add him to the opening day roster, that's got to be his day, right? It lines up perfectly. If they sit him for 6 days, once the season gets underway, wherever that is, 6 days, they get a year of controllability. And that is a massive, massive commitment in terms of how flexible things are within the constraints of the future of this plan. You know, an extra year of controllability for the major league minimum, while significant for individuals, it allows you flexibility where you're not shelling out millions upon millions of dollars to one given player that's already there. You think about the flexibility that you've got in financials then in the years to come. That may get you another significant piece towards the tail end of this thing that could be the difference between a deep run in the postseason or let's be honest here. The ultimate goal is to use these guys that are bursting onto the scene to win a World Series championship.
As far as the rest of the team goes, there's not, as we discussed when talking about where they're going to play, there's only a couple of days left between now and the start of the regular season. Is there anything left to be decided roster-wise? Is there still kind of some tinkering as to who's going to make it and who's not? I guess what's left decision-making-wise for the Blue Jays?
You know, in terms of the roster, not right now. And I'll tell you why. And it doesn't have to boil down with position battles. It's because of roster flexibility. The rosters have expanded to 30 people. So those last couple of battles actually will then be decided 2 weeks into this thing, when the roster goes down to 28, and then another little patch of time when it goes down to 26, which they'll play with the majority of the season. So who emerges, you know, from that pocket? Do the young guys take the reins, and are they good enough that the Blue Jays want to kind of ride them through the rest of the year? Or is the A.J. Cole, Justin Miller, Brian Baker more of a proven veteran with major league experience? Do they want to lean on those guys to get through the rest of the year? And a lot of it could turn in wins and losses too. You know, who's out there to get you wins and losses? Or do the Blue Jays start out of the gate really slow, find themselves trailing three or four teams that's in the standings, then all of a sudden it turns out to be a developmental year? And I think if that is the case, what better experience to get major league experience than to do it in the big leagues? And that's why you would kind of let these guys dangle their feet then in the major leagues. And then it becomes really exciting, because then you get guys like Thomas Hatch, maybe you let Jordan Romano close some games later on if you make a decision whether or not to trade or keep Ken Giles. A lot can factor into that, which will be really intriguing regardless of the wins and losses that the Blue Jays have through the month of September, because you could see a lot of young power arms and kind of the bounty that has been building up in the players' minor league system for the last couple of years.
And sticking with the big club through that transition, like you said, from 30 to 28 to 26, I mean, look, for obvious reasons, you want to be one of the 26 who make it all the way through. But if you're one of those guys cut, it's not, okay, and we'll send you down to Buffalo and you'll get your work in there. It's playing weird inter-squad games at a place that's also to be determined, I'm assuming. It's a pretty big drop with no minor league baseball.
It's a really big hurdle for the Blue Jays and everybody that's playing the game right now to not have their young players getting the necessary reps and the challenges of competing. For the Blue Jays, unless they play in Dunedin, I really think that taxi squad will be in Buffalo, New York, unless the Major League team obviously has to play there. That's why this is a really, really wild 2 or 3 hour window that the Blue Jays find themselves in right now, because they have not only no Major League home, but they have no home for a collection of players that are going to be somewhere around 30 more that you want to have sharp. So every day that you have to pick up and move this collection of individuals, you lose a day. That's just the way it is, you know, because everything's got to be packed, shuttled, trafficked. You got to get guys in a plane, and you're just not going to roll the balls out, you know, after somebody gets off a 3 hour flight. So there are a lot of moving pieces still yet to be moved with all of this. And players, of course, are at the focal point of all of that. But finding them develop and keeping their skills sharp enough to be ready if the Major League team needs them at any step here is going to be paramount.
Just a couple more with Ben Wagner, the play-by-play voice of the Toronto Blue Jays. Just looking around the big leagues, Mookie Betts gets traded from the Red Sox to the Dodgers, and now it looks like he's going to be staying with the Dodgers for a long time and for a lot of money. It's funny that we're at the point where I see $350 million on a contract, and it's just, oh yeah, whatever. That's fine, I guess. That's where we're at with baseball salaries. This kind of feels like a no-brainer, though, from a Dodgers perspective, hey?
He's for me, and a little bit of East Coast biased here, for me, he's the most exciting player in the game. I love Mike Trout. I love the way Mike Trout plays the game. But you look at how Mookie Betts, in the role that he does it, where he's a leadoff man. He always gets an at bat in the ninth inning. He comes through in the clutch. What he does defensively, not only with his range, what he does in a difficult spot, at least until this year, what he did in a difficult spot at Fenway Park, the plays that he makes, the throws that he makes, he changes games no matter where he is, no matter the moment. If Mookie Betts is involved, he's going to change a game. And it's been a treat the last couple of years to watch him play 19 times a season against the Toronto Blue Jays. And even when you think you've got a win locked up, guess what? Guess what's coming around in the ninth inning? You look down and you're like, oh, Mookie Betts is going to bat second, third, or lead off in that frame. He's always a creator. And he stayed on the field for a lot of that time. And you're right. I mean, the money is massive. It's insurmountable to think about that kind of money. It's also very interesting, the years and how they track out too.
Yeah, and as someone who doesn't call the games and just watches, I'm pretty good not seeing Mookie Betts 19 times against the Blue Jays. I'm pretty happy that he's in another league and maybe only have to see him once every few years. I'm pretty okay with that.
That's the one win that the Blue Jays have already this season. they got rid of Mookie Betts.
Yeah, now if the Red Sox could just get silly enough to trade Rafael Devers, because that was a nightmare last year, that would be great. Ben, thank you so much for this, man. I know that there's a lot going on in the world of the Blue Jays right now, and a lot that you guys are figuring out, but thanks for taking some time today. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate the time, and hopefully we have some normalcy coming to you on the radio over the next couple of days.
Can't wait. Anything close to normal, we'll take. Ben, thanks again.
Thank you. Bye.